بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى الخلص من أصحابه المنتجبين. My dear friends, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Tonight's subject is going to be the structure of the systemic oppression and racism. I have several points to reflect upon what is happening in our country, in the United States of America. For the past 10 days and 10 nights, this nation has been convulsed with the protests. Americans of every creed, every walk of life, took to the streets of more than 140 cities throughout the nation from coast to coast to express their rage, their despair, their rejection of racism, of police brutality and violence against the African American, the Black American, the people of color. This abuse is systemic. It has been going on for decades, rather centuries. America is struggling with racism. America could not solve the problem of racial inequality, social bias, discrimination, racism, and segregation. If they want, they can solve it. But they don't want to solve it, because the political system is corrupt. And politicians, all what they think about is how to get to the office and how to stay in that office for several terms. Very few of them are genuine. Unfortunately, those who are genuine, they could not make it. They could not make it because they could not garner enough support. Because the problem is not only with the political system, the problem is with the people too. With the people who do not seek reforms. With the people who are enjoying what is happening in their country. And they are not willing to change. So in my opinion, slavery did not end. It has been going on from the first day. 400 years now, America is suffering. America is bleeding because of this form of racism and slavery against an important portion of the people. People who were brought into this country for labor, for work, to build this country. But look how they are rewarded now. How they are mistreated now. Slavery did not end, but it took a different form, a different shape. Still, this is called slavery. Slavery when you don't have a freedom to express yourself. Slavery does not mean only physical suffocation of people. It means the suffocation of a free voices. Voices that wants to change. Voices that seeks goodness for America. voices that seek justice and peace and stability and dignity for this nation. These voices are being suffocated. We speak about freedom of expression for the Middle East, for China, for Russia, for other countries. But when it comes to our streets and our neighborhoods and our young generation and the black people and the Latinos and others, they don't enjoy that type of freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is only reserved for one class, for one color in this nation, not for all. This racial gap, which expresses itself in income, the disparity when it comes to income, when it comes to healthcare, when it comes to education, when it comes to any opportunity in this life, the blacks are marginalized. They are deprived. And we wonder why they are behind. And we wonder sometimes why the black are angry, are frustrated, why they raise their voice. They raise their voice because they have the right to raise their voice. If it happens, if this type of mistreatment happens, if this type of brutality and killings in a broad daylight happens to any community on earth, they would raise their voice. They would scream. They would take it to the streets, and you don't blame them. You don't blame them. Imam Ali says, I would not blame someone who has been marginalized and disfranchised, someone who's hungry, someone who has been wronged, someone who has been neglected. I would not blame him if he takes his sword and takes off into the streets. I would not blame him because he's frustrated. Because inside each and every one of us, there is a conscience that says you have to fight for your dignity, for your freedom, for your life, for your rights. If you remain silent, nobody is going to care about you. They are facing violence, brutality by some people in the law enforcement agencies, not all, some. And those people are not even facing any consequences. Nobody is holding them accountable. It takes 140 cities in America from coast to coast to revolt for them to change the sentence. In the beginning, they considered George Floyd, they considered his death to be an accident. It's not even a crime. They did not even acknowledge it to be a crime. An accident. It took 10 days, more than 10 days, of unrests, of revolution, so they can change. This means even the judiciary system, the justice system is corrupt. It's corrupt. Otherwise, if there is justice, there are several footages of the way, inhumane way, inhumane way, heart-breaking, graphic scene of this man being suffocated for almost 9 minutes. He's saying, I can't breathe. We don't do this even to animals, my friends. Even animals in this country have more rights and more privileges. Dogs and cats in this country have value, but some human beings do not have value. My friends, every human being should be able to live in peace and thrive and enjoy dignity, enjoy freedom, enjoy justice and fairness. This is how we can live in peace. Having a two-tier system that ignores the suffering of some groups, some minorities, some people, some communities who are being disfranchised, who are being forgotten and marginalized, that would lead into the destruction of that society. That society is not going to be prosperous. That society is not going to be stable. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet Muhammad says, إِنَّمَا أَهْلَكَ الَّذِينَ كَانُوا قَبْلَكُمْ أَنَّهُ إِذَا كَانَ سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الشَّرِيفُ تَرَكُوهُ وَإِذَا سَرَقَ فِيهِمُ الضَّعِيفُ أَقَامُوا عَلَيْهِ الْحَدِّ. What made previous communities and civilizations to be destroyed and wiped out is the injustice, social injustice, social bias, social discrimination. When someone is rich, someone from the tribal leadership, the royal family, the elite, the famous, a celebrity, if he steals and loots, they let him go. They pardon him. But if someone who is weak, marginalized, someone who is hungry, someone who is trying to bring food to his family, to his children, when he steals a loaf of bread, they punish him. They retribute him. They cut off his fingers. This is why these communities did not survive. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, sometimes a leader, a political system, is a disbeliever in God. They don't believe in God. They are polytheists. الحكم يدوم مع الكفر ولا يدوم مع الظلم. If a political system is a disbeliever in God, they may continue living and governing and leading. But if the political system in any country on earth, not just America, in any country on earth, if that political system is marred with injustice and corruption and inequality, it would not continue. It would collapse. It would collapse. The looting we saw on television in New York, in Los Angeles, in other cities is terrible, is bad. We condemn it, is unethical, is un-American. These scenes of lootings and anarchies are not justified. Nobody would justify them. There is no justification for them whatsoever. And those perpetrators have to be brought to justice. Because they, unfortunately, they hijacked this peaceful movement. They exploited these peaceful protests of responsible people, nice people, people who wanted a change, people who were touched by this brutal killing of George Floyd and many others, not just him, many others, in many other cities, through many decades. It was exploited by these looters. These destructive acts mar these peaceful protests. But my friends, those looters were stealing a pair of shoes, a piece of cloth, a dress, whatever. Maybe it's $50 worth. Maybe it's $100, maybe $200, maybe $500 worth. How about the big looters who are looting nations, the wealth of entire nations? How about looters who are looting the lives of the innocent people? Are they brought to justice? Do we talk about them? Looters, big looters, in the name of democracy, in the name of freedom, they loot entire nations, were looted from their wealth. Their wealth were taken away from them. Billions and billions and billions of dollars were taken from nations. Who will bring those big looters to justice? This is a two-tier system. When we focus on someone who's stealing a pair of shoes and we consider him to be criminal, and I'm not condoning his act, what he did is wrong. But when we focus on that and we forget about the big, big looters in this nation and other nations. My friends, what we have been seeing in the streets of our cities has roots. Racism has roots in this nation. Racism is inherent and historic and ongoing since 500 years ago. It's not something new. And we don't even try to find a solution for it. We don't even try to put an end to it. Some of those who cross the Atlantic to the eastern shores of the New World, of America, some of them were racist. Some of the pilgrims who came to this country, they were racist. And we read about their mistreatment of the natives, how they appropriated their land, how they kicked them out of them from their own farms and lands and mistreated them and murdered many of them. And then it continued. It didn't stop. It did not stop. Some of those racists, they use the Bible. They carry the Bible. They speak on behalf of the church. They speak on behalf of Jesus. They speak on behalf of Christianity. They justify what they do in the name of Christianity and the Bible. They paint their racism with a brush of religion and faith. And they are still doing it today. Church leaders, politicians, use religion to justify their racism. Whereas when we read the life of Moses and Jesus, none of them spoke about racism. None of them promoted racism. None of them promoted discrimination. In fact, Moses came to deliver his people from racism, from social bias, from Pharaoh and his party who were murdering the Israelites. He never spoke. He never glorified or celebrated racism. He never said this color is better than that color and this race is better than that race. Same thing with Jesus. Jesus came for the whole world. The same thing for Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophets of God are never racist. They would not glorify racism. They come for justice, for equality, for one nation. Some of those races do not respect the American Constitution. The American Constitution speaks about one nation under God. Do we have now one nation under God? Is this now the 330 million Americans are one nation under God? Or many nations under God? Or many classes under God. We have leaders who are dividing this nation, destroying this nation, for them to stay in power another four more years. They don't care if America is being destroyed. They don't care. And my friends, racists are not only in the law enforcement agencies or the police departments, though many of the police officers are nice, honorable, and fair. Many of them are first responders. Many of them put their life online to defend others. We cannot generalize. Many of them are good. Many of them are really honorable. Many of them are sincere in defending their country and protecting the rights of every citizen. They don't discriminate. But it's not only the police force in this country that is tainted with racism. It is the politicians too. Elected members too. Church leaders too. Religious leaders too. Many of them. They don't speak about equality. They defend the rights of certain groups in this country, certain colors in this country. So it is deeply rooted in this society, deeply rooted. And I really feel very sorry for such a great nation like America, when they have this disease, this real virus, which is more dangerous than the coronavirus. This is the real pandemic, the pandemic of racism. Coronavirus is going to go away. But how about this new virus? Can we put an end to it? Are we willing? Are we willing to bring real peace? Real justice, real equality to this country? My friends, when I speak about America, I should not exclude others. And by saying others, we the Muslims. Are we immune? Are we the Muslims? Not Islam. I don't blame Islam. Islam is a beautiful religion. Islam is a religion of equality and respect. For the entire humanity. Islam never discriminates against any group, against any color. But how about Muslims? Does racism apply to us too? I'm asking you this question. What do you think, my friends? I seek an answer from you. Our Islamic communities, our mosques, our religious institutions, our families, our circles, our groups, our ethnicities, our communities, are they immune against racism? When we criticize others, we have to look at our own selves in the mirror too and examine ourselves. And definitely we have to address the issue of racism among Muslims. We have to eradicate racism and social bias from Muslim circles. Sometimes we go to a mosque, and this mosque is named after certain ethnic groups. Whereas this book says in Surah Al-Jinn, وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. Mosques are not private properties. Mosques belong to God. The owner of the mosque, the Islamic Center, the Husayniyah, the Imam Bargah, whatever you want to call it, is God. Is God. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ. And we are the people of God. No matter what color you have, what race you have, what ethnicity you have, what family you have, what culture you have, the mosque is your home, and you must be welcome. You must be welcomed in the mosque. But sometimes we see acts of bias and discrimination inside the mosque, inside the house of worship. In fact, in my opinion, I can't understand, and I don't believe and I don't accept a mosque being for certain group, saying this mosque for South Asians only, or this mosque only for the black, this mosque for the Persians, this mosque for the Lebanese, this mosque for the Iraqis, this mosque for the Syrian or the Egyptian or the North African. It cannot be. Maybe the donors are from that ethnicity, but it has to be open for all. Not just for all ethnicities. I always say the mosque is the house of God, and God welcomes all people, believers and non-believers, Muslims and non-Muslims, Shias and non-Shias, worshippers and non-worshippers, black, white, whatever. They have to come to the mosque of God and enjoy that atmosphere. Women have to come, men, kids, elderly, children. And they should feel that this is their home. They are not marginalized. They are not treated like second-class citizens. All of them are honored. All of them are important in the mosque. Every individual who comes to the mosque should feel he or she are important. No exclusion. We have to tackle this problem of exclusion from our mosques and social bias. We always speak about the Prophet and how in his last sermon in Mecca he said, لا فضل لعربي على أعجمي إلا بالتقوى لا فضل لأبيض على أسود. There is no superiority for Arab over non-Arab, no superiority for white over black. But we don't practice that. It's only slogan. We only say it. We don't practice it. In the same land where the Prophet stood 1400 years ago, and he said there is no superiority for Arab over non-Arab, no superiority for the wife over the black. Today, after 1400 years ago, that place is the center of arrogance and superiority and racism. Same Mecca and Medina. Are people treated equal? They are not treated equal. In fact, that the hub, the hotspot for racism is Saudi Arabia and the Gulf states, where they divide people into two or three categories. First, the native who enjoy all rights. Nobody can question them. Second are the workers who come from Asia, from poor countries, to help their families, to sustain their families, to serve these countries. They come to serve, to work. Nobody of them is lazy. Some of those workers work 15 hours a day, 18 hours a day, 20 hours a day, but they are mistreated. They are persecuted. They are disrespected. Even during this pandemic, some countries protect their own citizens while the foreign workers who are working on that soil have no protection, have no health care. They don't care about them. Is this what the Prophet said? Is Islam only shi'ar, slogans? Islam is based on shi'ar or actions? Or actions? I have to dedicate a whole sermon, a whole session about racism and discrimination among some of the Muslims, though many of them are very good. Many of them, I am proud of them. They don't look at people's culture. They don't look at people's language. They don't look at people's color. They don't look at people's nationality. They look at people's character and personality. And this is what God says. God says in this book, I don't judge you by your color, neither by your nationality, neither by your culture. Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum. I judge you by your piety, your righteousness, your production, your work, your sincerity, your dedication, your ikhlas, your beauty, your inner beauty. This is how we should do. We cannot judge people based on their nationalities. Nationality is nothing in the eyes of God, has no meaning, has no value. Nationality has no meaning. We look at people's inner beauty, We look at people's inner qualities. We are deeply anguished and agonized and disturbed by the brutal killing and suffocation of George Floyd. We pray for his family. We pray for his community. We pray for all Black Americans. They are our brothers and sisters. They are our family members. And we are all also disturbed by the suffocation of a freedom of speech in this country. God says in this book, this is chapter 5, Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 32, one of the most important verses in the Quran. من أجل ذلك كتبنا على بني إسرائيل أنه من قتل نفسا بغير نفس أو فساد في الأرض فكأنما قتل الناس جميعا. If a person slays another person for no reason and no justification, just because of his color. George Floyd was killed because of his color. Because of his color. Believe me, had he been white, he wouldn't have been under the knees of that officer for almost 10 minutes. But because of his color. So God says, the murder of this single man is considered the murder of the entire people of earth. فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. And we are responsible to defend him. Not because he's my first cousin, but because he's a human being. Because an assault on him is an assault on the entire humanity. We are not only denouncing the police violence and brutality and racism. This is not enough. We need to engage in a movement, radical movement of reform, real reform, real social reform against any form of social bias, beginning with us, we, our families, the Muslim community, and then going outside. Because if we don't fix our own problems, we would never be able to fix America's problems. The journey begins with me, reforming myself, my family, my community. Then I can voice my concern to people outside. It's a long struggle, but we have to embark on this struggle, on this quest for peace and justice and equality for all. We pray for the healing of this nation. We pray the healing does not take a place unless we achieve peace and equality. So we pray for peace and equality. And also we pray for the arrival and the return of the Savior, Al-Imam Sahib Al-Asr Wal-Zaman, and Jesus, peace be upon him. Those two leaders are going to work hand in hand. The Islamic one, Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, and the Christian one, and both are Muslims, both are submitters to God. They put their hands together to bring reforms. But we have to usher into this journey. We have to prepare for it. We cannot sit passive. We have to be proactive. We have to work. May Allah bless you all. May Allah protect you all. May Allah bring peace and healing, first of all, to the hearts, the wounded hearts of the family of George, the people of Minnesota, the people of America, to every neighborhood. Allahumma kulli waliyyika al-hujjat ibn al-hasan. Salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi al-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'a. Waliyyan wa hafidha wa qaidan wa nasira wa dalilan wa ayna. Hatta tuskinahu ardaka tawa'a. وتمتعه فيها طويلة. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.